Derby Spirit has pinched the Oaks by four lengths. But a champion becomes a legend. McCarty Deaver has won it.
Hello, this is .com and the Den Mondays for your Monday. The best start to the week you can possibly imagine, I am sure. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me is Richard Irvin from Wolf Den, proudly brought to you by ChatGTP.
That's right, ChatGPT's finest, Mr. Richard Irvine. It makes people of limited ability look like they have some ability. I'm talking about myself. We're back for another week, Rog. Can't wait to unpack it all. How was your weekend?
Well, it was good. I didn't know whether I'd be able to do this today. Half lost my voice. I went to Green Day Saturday night, had nothing to do with that. That wasn't singing. I would have loved to have belted out a few tunes, but my voice was cactus. I wrote a story for the news yesterday on the Australian under 20 soccer win and couldn't even voice it. I had to get one of the girls in the office to put their voice to it because I just couldn't hit a register.
You sound a bit raspy.
Yeah, but it sounds like I've had 15 Winnie Reds and a dozen stubbies, unfortunately.
Sounds like your stable mate, Mr. Moody, right?
Yeah, I'm not a smoker, but I wouldn't mind 15 stubbies. How are you feeling, speaking of 15 stubbies?
Good. I was with a few mates yesterday, had a nice long day on the drink, which was very enjoyable. Saturday afternoon, I was out of the races. I went out there by myself, chatted with a few different people I know. But I loved it. I sort of followed Team Waller around as in the tie-ups and watched them walk out to the, what do they call it, the parade ring there at Randwick. And no, it was great. I was there for those big races, managed to catch all the races from Melbourne as well on one of the TVs there. And as always, I thought it was a brilliant afternoon of racing.
Yeah, it was a huge day of races in two states. And let's dig into what mattered with our Straight Six.
The Straight Six.
The feature race down at Flemington, Rich, was the Australian Guineas for Roche, an impressive way to turn the tables on Seppel. So I did think might have just come to the end of its prep. Still a good run by him to finish fourth. And look, the place getters here, Savick Lee and Gold Rush Guru, certainly a couple to stick to as well. It turned out a really nice race.
Yeah, big day for Dom Sutton. He's made a Group 1 win. We can see Feroce there just getting over the top of Savick Lee. So Savick Lee, yeah, he couldn't really knock his form. He had that great weight for age form over in New Zealand with Here to Shock. He didn't disappoint anybody. And I think he should probably hang around now. I heard Trav Noonan say maybe something like the All Age Stakes at the end of the Sydney Carnival could be a target that he could work towards. Feroce obviously ran second in the Caulfield Guineas, so they went one better this time.
That's Greg McRae there, by the way. That's the Collingwood Premiership coach getting just as excited about his horse Feroce winning a Group 1 as he did about the Pies winning the Premiership.
Isn't that good to see the way it should be? So Feroce now gets automatic entry into the All-Star Mile. I reckon they'll probably race. He'd be a good knockout 25-1 chance. I'd be happy to have something on him at 25 or 30-1 in form, you never know, down in the weights a bit. Gold Rush Guru, you mentioned him before. Let's bring up Stu Ferenczi, one of the greats on the Den. He's declared it. Take any price futures bet for the Australian Derby. Hard to argue with that. We were talking beforehand, Roger, and you thought that sounded like a pretty good idea.
I think when you get out to 1,800, 2,000 metres, I'm not going to say take any price, but he looks to come back super. It was a really good win in the Derby last year, and he's really come on. And, you know, so many Derby winners just fall away in recent times. It's a bit of a glorified benchmark race most of the time. Gold Rush Guru looks to be an exception.
Yeah, so he'll go the Rosehill Guineas, possibly run into broadsiding, but that's okay. That'll get him cherry ripe for the Derby. And that's it, mate. It was a great race, and we roll on. Yeah.
Savick Lee was one. I didn't give it a huge – he's not one of mine, Savick Lee. But that was an impressive run. Eating humble pie a little bit there, Savick Lee. Still didn't win, so leaving it out to quad, he wasn't exactly a howler. Disappointing Angel Capital wasn't there. He was my top pick. I do think he would have won. Easy to say that when he didn't race. But look, there's a chalk that he may go to the All-Star Mile. And
interesting. I was going to ask you if you had any news on that.
Yeah, well, we'll just wait and see. I think the final field comes out Wednesday, and so we still don't know the makeup of the All-Star Mile at this point in time. But yeah, it's shaping as a very interesting race with Mr. Brightside, a dominant favourite. We'll get to the market on that race.
We will. And just on that, with Angel Capital, obviously Yulong have bought into them, and they're going to be pretty keen to try and get a Group 1 with him. So they would have loved to have won the Australian Guineas because obviously they're looking at him as a stallion beyond. And you never know what can happen with these horses. He's a chance in the All-Star Mile, so I think that might even – if he's okay, I think that would even increase the chance of him running because they want to get that Group 1 win with him, as hard as it would be for him to win the All-Star Mile.
I keep forgetting the All-Star Mile is a Group 1 now. The Zillow and Willow Show, Rich. Inglis Sprint was a – A long-range plan absolutely nailed by Kelly Schreeder, bringing the horse down from Brisbane. 2 months since his last run in the Sunlight Three-Year-Old. I think it was at the Magic Millions meet in January.
Private Harry won that race. This was the
perfect execution of a great plan.
Yeah, it was only a 50K yearling as well, so they got it very cheap. At the 400, Willow knew he was home, I think. He just was looking for that little run. It took him half a second to get it, but then he got it. And he just got that momentum going a bit quicker than Daggers. Talk about Daggers in a second. But Elmore Zillo probably goes home and has a bit of a break now, and they'll get her ready for the Brisbane Winter Carnival. Kelly Schweder was saying that the Tats Tiara, that group one towards the end of the carnival, I think it is the last race of the carnival, might be her go.
It better be her because, yes, if it was a he, as I think I incorrectly alluded to, definitely can't run in the Tats Tiara.
Definitely can't run the Tats Tiara. But shout out to the King Zone who tipped it well in the Saturday set at about $10. So, yeah, great for everyone. And Daggers, very impressive. I reckon Daggers should go onto the Sunlight now. That's in 2 weeks, or no more than that, 3 or 4 weeks' time on Australian Cup Day. Another race that Daggers could look at is the Arrowfield Sprint, which is a three-year-old Group 2 race up in Sydney. Might be day two of the championship. So, yeah, Daggers has come back really well as well.
Yeah, before we move on, I just want to touch on the other three-year-old sprint race, the Fillies race, which was race five. Scalado, very impressive winner here. Let's have a look at the last 200. This is Corey Parrish's first Metro winner since 2019. First defeat for the highly rated Clean Energy, who had Lady Shenandoah form, beat Lady Shenandoah in its maiden preparation. So I think Scalado's a horse to like. Of course, it's always hard to rate the young ones.
Yeah, no, I think those first three across the line are going places. Clean Energy was $2.6 million yearling. A lot of people were tipping Scalado earlier, you know, on Thursday and Friday. He was a very popular horse in the den. I think it's good that we touched on those horses because they will feature pretty heavily going forward in this autumn carnival, I reckon.
One horse that's potentially going to feature this Saturday on the quick backup is Marble Arch, who was victorious in the Blamey Stakes. This was such a consistent mare. Terrific win. Another Hayes runner potentially into the All-Star Mile, along with Rise of Dawn and, of course, Mr. Brightside. She looked good a long way out. She's now gone first, second, first, second, first. And those 2 seconds, she's been beaten 0.4 and 0.3 of a length. So, I mean, I suppose the form says she's going to run second in the All-Star Mile.
Sapati was the interesting one here. Disappointing. Did pull up lame, but I don't know how much difference that made to his performance overall. I think people were a little bit perplexed as to why they decided to lead on him. Sort of, he's a little vulnerable at 1600, never won over 1600, so people were a bit confused as to why they would try to do what they did. Obviously, it's very easy to say all that stuff.
Had run well at 1600, just hadn't won at 1600. Yeah. But I think the biggest thing, trying to lead from that wide gate, just spent a lot of tickets early.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, so I don't know what happens with Stepati now. They'd be bitterly disappointed. Of course, he's pulled up lame, so the number one thing is just making sure that he's okay. But, yeah, Marble Arch looks like another top-class Hayes miler, doesn't it? And I was listening to JD. He said it's jumped 20 rating points this preparation. Dano's just weighed in on X and bumped from a 94.6 to 100.2 rating on the Dano rating scale. Yep.
That's a big, big jump.
And she too gets an automatic entry into the All-Star Mile. JD says they'll wait until acceptances on Wednesday to decide. And if she doesn't go there, she'll probably go the Coolmore Classic. We're going to have a look at that mark a little bit later on. Plastic Carousel has been retired. I think Plastic Carousel ran in the placings when Via Sestina had her first start in Australia.
Yeah, that was both their first starts in last year's Randvet, wasn't it?
Say that again, sorry?
It was last year's Randvet, I think.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So nearly a year ago. And Zardozi, one of the more consistent horses out there, obviously was fantastic. Everyone saw that. Cherry Ripe for the Australian Cup. Plenty of Ammo was a little disappointing. Found Wanting.
Really nice run from Attrition that second.
Very true. Yeah.
On top of the ground, big odds. Peter Moody on Moody on the mic said each way all day. That was his best of the weekend. One to watch, definitely going towards the Australian Cup. Let's look, though, at the All-Star Mile market. Of course, we don't know the final field as yet. Mr. Brightside, a dominant favourite there, along with Another World. Tom Kitten coming off that terrific run as well last weekend. A Tissue Loves Flemington, $7. Sava Glee, potentially after that, Guineas Placey. Amelia's Jewel, I'd be surprised if she went there after her victory.
Yeah,
her victory on the weekend. She's going to be targeted toward the Coolmore, according to Annabelle Neesham. Rise of Dawn, is he up to this grade? Find out, but geez, he's a consistent horse. So, yes, it will be the X factor if you get Angel Capital and also Feroce in the field too, who we can't see there in the market.
Yeah, he's on the next line of betting. $21, but I reckon he'll get out a little bit from that.
Yeah, to our knowledge, of course, victorious in a Group 3 last, that is a Group 1 winner too. If it's leaders on, then, you know, you got a factor to our knowledge in as well. But it should be an interesting race. Up in Sydney was a very interesting race, the Very Elegant. If they hadn't already renamed the Chipping Norton the Very Elegant, they could justify calling it the Chris Waller, because this was his 11th win in the race since it became a Group 1. He got the trifecta. First sustainer, geez, it was a great ride from J-Mac. Caught in a bit of trouble last up when J-Mac was away. Fangirl was terrific again. First second up win in VS Sustainers, 3 Australian preps. So the second up blues are out the way now, Rich.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of Saintly Falante and Octagonal going to the line in that race hook innings a long time ago. But it was a brilliant race. I was actually right on the fence to watch that, and I thought Fangirl was going to go past. But no, Via dug in like the true champion. She is. Yeah, no, she's fantastic. And you were saying Chris Waller's 11th Chipping Norton, or Very Elegant as now it's called. So he went past TJ Smith, who had 10. So that shows, you know, the levels that Chris Waller's getting to when he's winning more than TJ Smith, who trained for, you know, twice as long as he did. As Chris has. But
and other training ranks and ranks. I know Waller's got an absolute bucket load of horses.
Yeah.
But the training ranks and it's in general, I think it's a bit more competitive when TJ won about 5,000 New South Wales training premierships in a row.
Yes, 33 or something like that. But one thing I did enjoy on Saturday afternoon was just watching Team Waller at work. So I was in the, you know, the tie-ups, and I was just watching Waller just quietly walk along and talk to the different staff. Of course, they had a million runners at Randwick on Saturday.
I've just got this vision of you following around the Waller camp like a puppy dog, like, Mr. Waller.
trying to get them to notice me. I when J-Mac was on VS Sustainer, I said, good luck, J-Mac. I was right down the theatre of the horse.
He said, who are you?
He completely ignored me. But I will say one thing. I've got huge news. Dougie Bollinger, the former Test cricketer.
I did see this.
Yeah. Was strapping Fangirl. He was leading her around in the theatre of the horse. I said, g'day, Dougie, good luck. And he looked at me and he said, I love your podcast. Can I have one of those hats? So all was not lost.
Well, Dougie does know how to put a rug on, so I'm no surprise.
This is true. Dougie the rug. But on that horse, Fangirl, she was brilliant. She sprinted really well, didn't she? But, Via was just too strong. I think some people are saying that if the runs were reversed, you know, Fangirl slightly missed the start, so Via got in front of her.
You said that last time, though. I said that last time. I thought that, Fangirl got the run of the race and Face of Stanley got held up at the wrong time and she should have won. I still maintain she should have. I would have loved to have seen Sheer Wolf in this race. I think it would have been a better guy for everyone. But, you know, he was scratched. A very minor issue. Joe Pryde's not going to take any risk with Sheer Wolf.
He might run into Canterbury this Saturday, possibly, which is back to 1,300. So,
but be nice drama for next time when he and VS Estina do meet up in trip. VS Estina and Fangirl, I can't see them clashing. Well, I think Chris Waller said it. Or no, Vin Cox, I think, said it. They don't want to keep those mares apart. So we won't see those two. And I think, you know, I can't see Fangirl stretching out beyond 1,600. Let's take a look at the market for the Randvet. And VS Estina are a dominant favourite. Geez, I'd almost take that $1.60. Except I don't play in futures markets.
But you want to be Dubai Honor.
Yeah. There's a few interesting runners there, actually.
Yeah, and obviously Lindemann was fantastic. He just keeps running really strong races. Faulkner Park was a really good return. He's in the market there for the Randvet. He'd probably something like the Tancred, as with Arapaho for Bjorn Baker. He was a good run. He won the Tancred, which is a 2,400-meter race that comes after this one, after the Randvet. It's a week after the Randvet.
It is.
It's the same as Australian Cup Day. So there were some really good runs in the race there. And Faulkner Park, they might just push him towards that Q22 race, which is that 2,200-metre race up at Eagle Farm on Stradbroke Day. So, yeah, I'd say
Melbourne Cup winners come out of the last two of the last 3 years, I think.
No, yeah, without a fight, won it? Yeah.
Oh, yes. No, last year's win, of course, didn't come out of that race. But let's have a look at the George Ryder.
This is a cracker race.
350, Sherwood 440. I wish it wins $7. So look at that. It broadside goes there $8. That's a... That is not going to be the field, take it to the bank. But imagine that lot going around in a race.
And I noticed on Saturday night, Ladbrokes were still $4.40 George Ryder. And I thought to myself, geez, that seems a good price. Anyway, sure enough, Tab are now into $3. And I've seen the Ladbrokes have firmed that up a bit as well.
For Fangirl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were $4.40 on Saturday night. After I looked at it and thought, geez, $4.40 seems a pretty good price for Fangirl in the George Ryder, but it's since firmed up a bit. So
could have taken it. Hey, Lady Shenandoah started at $1.30, I think, on Saturday in the Surround Stakes. you know, I wasn't expecting Lady of Camelot to put up that much of a fight, but the race to me looked over a long way out. Lady Shenandoah was largely left alone to sit outside, do her own thing. It was a good challenge, and she showed that she was up to it. She did break the race record in winning this, even though she only really just fell in. It would have been a bloody scary watch if you took a buck 30.
And beautiful ride from Jay May. You can just see her really just extending her out to the line there. She had to dig on all of her equine excellence to get there. And what about Lady Camelot? Fantastic run, Golden Slipper winner. You know, ran incredibly well at 1,400 metres. I believe they're going to take her on to the Coolmore Classic, which is a 1,500 metre race in 2 weeks from now. Yeah, I think she proved a lot of doubters wrong. A lot of people thought Lady Camelot wasn't a 1,400 metre horse, and now they're going to go even further up to 1,500. And on that, who can say that she won't be a live chance? And if obviously Gay and Adrian know what they're doing with their horses. Lady Shenandoah, I saw Dan O giving her a new peak of 101.7. I think she'd get 51.5 kilos in the Doncaster. A lot of people were asking
Waller basically ruled out the Doncaster after the race.
He did, yeah. And I love J-Mac. He, in his post-race interview, said that when Lady Camelot hung on, it reminded him, felt like he was in Saudi Arabia again. Of course, when Forever Young wouldn't go away.
He does do the self-deprecating stuff quite well, James McDonald.
Yeah. It's interesting, eh? Like, he just came back on Saturday and everything just kind of went back to normal. You know, we've had those...
Because he's the best.
Yeah, we just had those questionable rides from other jockeys on some of these horses that he was racing, and then he just comes back and, you know, we go back to normal transmission. We all get our multis up and all that kind of stuff. I look forward to hearing what your mate Tom from Ladbrokes, how they fared with J-Mac pulling the strings again. Things for us punters.
Absolutely. We'll have a look at the Coolmore Mark in a sec. Yes. Amelia's Jewel first win in over 500 days. Mm. Now, J-Mac jumped beautifully, took up the running, which is something we're not really accustomed to for this mare. But maybe, you know, that's the go, but maybe she also didn't be much. As Tommy Hackett actually said to me on text after the race, because we're not allowed to talk about Amelia's Jewel on Moody on the mic, because I love it. My daughter's called Amelia. I love Amelia's Jewel. Love Simon Miller. I actually just bought into a horse with Simon, my first horse back for a long time. But as Tommy said, because I said, can we now mention Amelia's Jewel on the podcast? Now she's actually won. He said, I'm not sure we should be rewarding horses for beating Ausbred Flirt. look, it's still a group two. Maybe she goes on, wins the Coolmore. Let's take a look at that market. Show me, whack it up. Lady Shenandoah, $2.80 favorite. Amelia's Jewel, $3.40. I mean, I still think Lady Shenandoah is just, I want to be with her just about anywhere. It's tough for me. I love both of these. Well, Mayor's Phillies. Lady of Camelot, $9. Aliana, $11 with Miss Rombini and Steffi Magnetica. So, look, that's going to be an interesting race too, of course, for the Phillies and Mayor's. That's probably, if we get most of them there, it'll be one of the strongest runnings over for a while.
Yeah, no, it's coming together really nicely. Lady Camelot at $9 probably interests me a little bit. Seems a reasonable price.
I like like you said, stretching out to a distance we probably didn't think she would earlier, and is a bit of a question mark. Big question marks over with the Golden Slipper as well. It continues to look like a really tough race to read, although Rivolino was impressive winning Saturday here in the Skyline Stakes. I was very keen on Shaggy here and onto the Slipper. Maybe I overrated Shaggy. I certainly underrated Rivolino.
Yeah, there's Shaggy, just the number two horse in the green. Just found a bit wanting, probably come the end of its prep. There's Rivolino going to the lead. And you've got Skyhook up on the fence, who got knocked about by Shaggy further up the straight, about the 200 to 300. A lot of people thought that Skyhook probably should have won, but all Rivolino can do is run straight and keep winning, and that's what he does, and he'll go into the Golden Slipper, a great chance. We've also got the Sweet Embrace. Let's bring that up. It was that man, Air Bjorn Baker, again. So Bella Zane for Lady of Camelot's trainers, Gay and Adrian out in front. And we've got Within the Law right out the back there in the Derby racing colour. So you've got the blue cat with the white just starting to get into her work now. And
huge run.
She's going to have to finish hard to win from there, Rog. Here she comes, straight over the top.
Not quite Chautauqua, but it was pretty good.
Pretty good, wasn't it? Just got there. What does this all mean? I mean, I saw Dano's ratings before. He said it's startling, the lack of quality in two-year-olds at the moment. So Woden's the strong favourite, $3.50. I heard Duffacy on Racing Retro, or Thoroughbred Weekly, it's now called, saying that, you know, it should be much longer than that, but the Tab have such a big liability. They've got a seven-figure liability on it. They keep it short. I think they need to go on with it and only start worrying about it when it's an eight-figure liability.
Turn it over.
But so we've got the Todman this week. So the Todman's always one of the main, the Todman and the Riesling are the two main sort of slipper trial lead-up races. And we're going to find out a lot because we've got Woten, we've got Your Horse Baywatch, we've got Tycoon Star, we've got North England, we've got West.
Surely more people have to run with that now.
We're calling it Baywatch.
Just go with Baywatch, yeah.
It's good fun, yeah.
And then when it runs, and it'll run down in slow motion, just like they used to on the beach.
Sure. It's one of the great opening credit songs too, that.
Yeah,
that
for any song. Teenage boy. Oh, the song. Sorry, I think we're in the pictures.
So we'll learn a lot from that. That will dictate the market a lot. It's a really big race for Woten because probably be a smaller field, so he might get a bit of an easier run. What do you make of it all, Rog?
I actually don't know. I got no idea with the two-year-olds. You really do with the two-year-olds because it's always a fine line with the babies. They can go over the top really quick. Like I say, I was keen on Shaggy at the weekend, gone to the paddock now, maybe didn't see 1200, maybe just ended prep. Shiny Smile down in Victoria, four wins on the trot. That makes, I think as you pointed out, Rich, the most consistent two-year-old in Victoria.
Let's bring up the footage of Shining Smile winning at Flemington on Saturday. I think it was race one. Here it is. There's Shining Smile in the maroon and black coming into it. Take it away, Rog.
Yeah, I mean, Trav Noonan said yesterday, I think, that he's the benchmark of two-year-olds in Victoria. It reminded me of the old Around the NFL podcast. They used to say that, forgive my indulging the NFL people here, but Andy Dalton was like the prime meridian of NFL quarterbacks, that if you had a quarterback better than Andy Dalton, you could win a Super Bowl. Not the case now. He's a genuine backup. And if you had one worse than Andy Dalton, you had no chance of winning the Super Bowl. And I think that's basically what they say about Shiny Smile. If you're better than Shiny Smile, you might win some pretty handy races. And if you're not, you probably want to look elsewhere.
Yeah, and so he's won four on the bounce. And so Tentarus, who he dead-heated with, ran second in the Blue Diamond. So I'm not sure if the Hayes boys have any regrets that maybe they should have had a throw at the stump in the Blue Diamond. Almost certainly he will go to the paddock now. Don't think they're interested in bringing him up to Sydney for anything or even the size produce down in Melbourne, anything like that. And I think they'll probably train him for a Coolmore Stud Stakes campaign in the spring.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he comes back as a three-year-old and if he's up to that level, because I'm not sure he is, but I'm not sure that, you know, like we're saying about, well, if there's no dominant two-year-olds, it's the big question is how they come back as three-year-olds. Yeah. The win of the day, Rich, the poll on Den.
Elmore Zillow, just one from...
Bit of an upset, I would have thought.
Yeah. Well, I think the fact that the King Zone tipped it at $10 on the Saturday set has a lot to do with it.
Everyone's speaking through their wallet.
And so they should.
All right, let's get to Stewards in 60.
Stewards Room Speed Round.
All right, not much of note here aside from what we've touched on already, plus the carousel after she was pulled up in the run in the blaming, he's been retired. Same race to party, pulled up with lameness, as you mentioned. He'll head to the paddock, I'd imagine, needs a vet certificate before racing again anyway. Sydney, a couple of minor suspensions, J-Mac and also Timmy Clark. James on Schnitzel Mears, Clark on Balazine. Both four-day suspensions, careless riding. Out from a Sunday to a Friday, so no big deal.
Cook the book.
One of the most interesting parts of this show, if not the most interesting part of this show, is Cook the Book. And joining us, of course, Kingsley Bartholomew from Wolf Den, Tom Hackett from Ladbrokes. Tommy, I'll start with you. A double figure winner in the Australian Guineas, but we saw the favourite Angel Capital scratched on race morning. What percentage of early money was with Angel Capital? And did the punters reinvest? And if so, was it an even spread or did they home in on one horse in particular?
No, there certainly wasn't a huge amount of money for Angel Capital before it was scratched, Rog. I think it was a favourite that a lot of the sharper punters did seem to want to be opposed in the Australian Guineas. So certainly wasn't well back before it was scratched. After the scratching, though, the punters did get around two horses, particularly Savagly, the Kiwi. It was extremely well-backed. It was a liability of over $600,000 for the Ladbrokes book. The other horse that was backed was Point and Shoot, the Bjorn Baker factor at the moment. They're playing a part in that, in my opinion. Roche was a good result for the book. It was our best result of the day across either Melbourne or Sydney, just over a $350,000 result. So a good result there for the book. And yeah, just a good result that we got Savagly beaten, really.
Well, clearly Clinton McDonald doesn't bet with Ladbrokes because he just about declared it on radio on Friday morning before having to scratch. I reckon he would have been the most disappointed man in Australia. I imagine knowing Clinton, he would have had a fair dip at it. Kings, was it a race that you were keen to bet in? It did look like a somewhat tricky betting race, especially after Angel Capital came out. So I was also keen on.
Yeah, I thought it was a race not to get too involved in. I took $15 Royal Insignia, who was disappointing again, but that's all I did. I didn't get too involved. I thought bookies would get a result in that race, and they did.
You had Marble Arch on top in the Blamey, which we saw on the Saturday set last week, and you're also really keen on Almazillo in the English sprint. Mm. Is it fair to say it was a fat day for the Den and potentially why you boys tipped a few Sherpas in yesterday?
Yeah, it was a good day. Almazillo in particular had a really good result on, but it could have been an even bigger day with your blessing and also Malane up in Brisbane. Both got beat by that far late in the day. So it could have had a big, big day, but I'd certainly had a win, that's for sure.
Tom, I imagine the Lady Shenandoah via Sestina double was popular. How big a dent did that put in the book? And an extension of that, Lady Shenandoah was backed into about $1.30 at the jump. Did punters have any interest in anything else?
There was a little bit of money for Lady of Camelot in that race to knock off Lady Shenandoah. And Lady Shenandoah in the just the win market, just single bets, was a small, very small winning result for the Ladbrokes book, but the multi result was, let's put it bluntly, the Lady Shenandoah into Via Sestina was an absolute train wreck. The second weekend in a row where we've been hurt quite badly by the multis, and yeah, Lady Shenandoah into Via Sestina was incredibly popular. Via Sestina was the only losing result in that very elegant stakes, and yeah, that multi was very, very, very popular indeed. And the second week in a row where we've been beaten when it comes to the racing multi-bets, and that's basically swung the day in the punter's direction.
Kings, I thought only bad luck would beat Lady Shenandoah. It turns out Lady of Camelot nearly did. But what sort of price would you have been happy to back her at? Because $1.30 seemed a bit short, and it was a nervous watch if you were on.
Yeah, it's not a race that I bet in, but they put up, I think, $1.80 Lady Shenandoah, and she started, as we said, $1.30, and same as Via Sestina, very well backed as well. It was like $1.90 to $1.60. And both looked like they were going to get beat at one point. And Via Sestina just shows, like, Fangirl sat in front of Via Sestina last time. Now Via Sestina sat in front of Fangirl. Whoever had that more forward position won. And that's what the James McDonald's ride really determined the result of both those races. They both, Lady Shenandoah and Via Sestina, got perfect runs and both only just fell in.
Yeah, do you look at that race now and with that sort of second up factor now broken, she's 1 second up, first time in Australia, although I do think she had excuses both times. Do you look at that now and go, you know, she is a horse I want to be on, price dependent, the entire prep?
I think so, yeah. Getting out to 2,000, as I said last week, 2,000, fitter, third up. I think we'll start seeing a few of these favourites win more comfortably now. And bookies are in for a bit of a hard couple of weeks, I reckon, now that I don't like horses first up and second up that much. I'd rather when they're getting to their right distance and they're fit, that's when you start ticking some boxes and I'm more inclined to take short prices, yeah.
Rough day for bookies is famous last words, Kings. We'll see. They always find a way. Tom, you work for a bookmaker. You are also a punter. The punters won last week. What was the overall result for the Ladbrokes book both at Flemington and Ramwick on the weekend?
A bit of a split decision, but other points definitely go to the punters. The punters finished in front at Randwick on the back of that that Lady Shenandoah into Via Sestina multi-results. That was the big bit difference maker there. Book finished narrowly in front at Flemington. There was some positive results there for the punters, but the Feroce result in the Australian Guineas did tip the overall ledger towards the book, but overall punters in front for the second weekend in a row. And as King said, it could be worrying times for the book. We might have to batten down the hatches for the next couple of weeks.
I'm sure you'll be right, Tom. Hey, just before I let you go, NRL returned yesterday with the Vegas matches. You know, that standalone Sunday, did the punters just truckload into the NRL games?
Yeah, very popular, the Vegas round. I think you look at like a game like Raiders versus Warriors, which, if we're being honest, is hardly a marquee fixture. If that was a game...
It wasn't a great match either.
Yeah, if that was a game on at Saturday afternoon at 5:30, your turnover's probably not looking too crash hot, but it was, yeah, the second year in a row, the Vegas turnover numbers were very, very strong. I think the NRL is on to a winner with the concept, and I tipped a winning same game multi just to start the year off. So happy days across the board.
Just be careful, your head doesn't wobble off there. Hey, Kings, who do you like for the NRL? I know we're a racing show, and I know we've got a lot of Victorians who don't follow NRL. Who's your favourite for the premiership this year?
Broncos. I'm on Broncos big at $8.50, I think. Maguire going up there and Ben Hunt, and they lost a grand final a couple of years ago. So I think $8.50 is a huge price, Brisbane. Ooh. I think them or Melbourne Storm will win.
I hope you're right with the second one. Would be a big turnaround. Hey, good luck on the weekend, boys. Another great betting weekend awaits, and we'll chat to you next Monday.
Sneak peek.
All right, time now to look at this Saturday. And this Saturday coming, we have terrific racing again at Flemington and Randwick, the Newmarket Handicap. Look, not the strongest edition of the Newmarket, but it's taken shape okay.
Yeah, I thought we'd just throw the market up because we didn't really talk about it much during the show, but Jolly Star favourite there. I believe Gatsby's is going to be in the race as well. It's off the market, off the page, sorry. A big factor this week, Roger, is the potential rain up in Sydney. So you've got someone like Sunshine in Paris there who's all set to start in the Canterbury Stakes, which we'll talk about in the second, the 1,300-metre race at Randwick. But there's a bit of talk there's going to be a lot of rain in Sydney and no rain down in Melbourne. So a horse like Sunshine in Paris or horses that want to be on top of the ground could possibly go down to Melbourne for the Newmarket. Traffic Warden is probably my tip. Jimmy Starr, it's pretty unlikely he's going to run because I think he's going to get top weight.
I like Straight and Angel, but I'll wait.
Sure.
Just think she runs so well down the straight. She's super consistent. It'll be a pretty firm track on Saturday. Good drying week here in Melbourne. If you want to get those washed and dried, it's going to be good. There's no rain. The All-Star Mile also.
We've already spoken about it at length, yeah.
Exactly. CUNY Stakes. Treasure of the Moment we get to see as well after that super return last weekend. The Oaks winner from last year, so she will be a short price favourite in the CUNY.
Yeah.
Canterbury Stakes, Randwick Guineas on in Sydney, the Todman and the Riesling, so good slipper trials. Champions Day at Ellerslie, Richard. So a big day over there in the land of the long white sheep.
The biggest day of the year.
Yep, and it's the Kiwi, the big slot race. So, big day for Entain and Ladbrokes. And I think you're doing a mates mode pot in the den.
We are. We're doing a mates mode pot. So, and we're actually going to have a few bets on that Ellerslie meeting, which would be great. We're going to do a live stream as well. So it'll be a wonderful afternoon to come and join in with us. You mentioned the Randwick Guineas, of course, broad sightings in that. Probably can see Switzerland in the Canterbury Stakes, Magic Times favourite, I think. Possibly Chow Wolf be in that race as well, we mentioned earlier. It's going to be an absolute super Saturday of racing. And if you love horse racing, you must spend it with us. Go jump in the Ladbrokes Mates Mode group. We'll try and turn a bit of a profit there and we'll have the live stream. How else would you want to spend your life?
Absolutely. We better wrap the show up here because Trelmy got stuck in us last week for waffling on too much at the end and we don't want to anger the boss.
We do not want to anger the boss. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you in the Saturday set on Thursday and then in the live stream on Saturday.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.